Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Again for another episode, yes, another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Mia of Covenant Remembrance Ministries, yet so very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity, this precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Yes, and I thank the Most High for every ear that He brings near. And I thank you all, yes, I do, for listening. For the Most High has told me, yes, directly has He told me, that I have for His cause some very important things for Him, yes, that I must do. The Most High calls a prophet to speak with others would not. For indeed, my brothers and sisters, men more often than not have been more concerned for personal pulpits and thrones than for the ultimate divine covenant cause, the one consent, healing, and reconciliation of a people devout unto the one Most High, for the making one, my brothers and sisters, of a world entire unto the ways of eternal peace. But now, my brothers and sisters, even now the time, my brothers and sisters, that time has come when the promised times of refreshing are upon us, the time to rediscover the ancient truths, the time foretold, my brothers and sisters, that all the precious truths that unscrupulous men for so long have schemed to keep hidden in the darkness, must again be brought to the light, to at last remember all that should never have been forgotten. My truth-loving brothers and sisters, is now. For again, the Most High has told me that I have for him some very important things for his cause that I must do. And he told me that because of what I must do, he said that I would surely accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, that I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I am indeed utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me, yes, indeed, as he told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, that I must tell you things. Precious truths. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and yes, my brothers and sisters, if they could, to destroy. So let it be in this day when the Most High is appointed, yes, that all the truth that the world would obscure must again come to light, when all who would hide the truth from you must be exposed, when indeed, my brothers and sisters, all that has been hidden in the darkness must come to light, must be revealed. Let it be, my brothers and sisters, that all who would serve the Most High cry aloud. Hallelujah!
Yes, well, my brothers and sisters, we are back. Yes, indeed. Thank the Most High. And we're back again. Yes, indeed, that we're back again for another episode. Yes, another very precious, precious episode of Hidden Gospel, Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Edom Yah, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. Indeed, so very thankful to the Most High. I said very, very thankful to the Most High for this opportunity. Yes, this very precious opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words. Yes, these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the healing. Yes, for the healing of his people. For the Most High has told me. Yes, indeed, directly has he told me. There are some important things for him that I must do. Indeed, my brothers and sisters, he told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things. That men have done some of everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. My brothers and sisters, I must tell you, there's no question and no shadow of a doubt. The Creator who made us all is one. We need to ask the question then, since the Creator is one, how is it, my brothers and sisters, that so many people who claim to worship him, or let's just say that in this world where there are so many that claim to be worshipers of him, how is it, my brothers and sisters, that we have been divided? How is it that we find it so difficult to agree? You ever stop and consider, my brothers and sisters, that the Creator is one, his leadership is one, his administration is one. There are no contradictions in it, which basically means that many who claim to be his administrators, claim to be his representatives, our brothers and sisters, are actually declaring a testimony, both incomplete and also in so many ways, after so many lies, impure. Understand what I'm saying about that. Purity and completion, without question, offers just one choice. There could be no divisions if there were not lies in the midst. Political correctness in this society, in the indiscriminate society, however, has compelled men not to seek to understand what it is that we have oftentimes given license to be deceived by, even exploited by, in our midst, that in fact, my brothers and sisters, if we are ever to be truly a strong people made one, well, like I said, political correctness, polytheist regimes and ideals have desired that we never identify the error that is in our midst, the error that we have come to trust, that must be eradicated if we are going to be saved beyond the destruction that the Most High has already foreordained against every illusion. Because he never said that he would preserve any thought form that was not his own. Man was created to emanate the thoughts of his creator. Why should the Most High be satisfied with any other thought form that is not his own? Do you think he made man to argue with him? I would say, my brothers and sisters, we're going to have to wake up beyond this illusion. What I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So many of us have been compelled to follow after anything that people come up with that calls itself, per se, associated with the Creator. I said that it's associated with the Creator. And believe that whatever we're being taught, it is worthy unto the kingdom of the Most High. That's a lie. There would be no need for the Most High to declare an absolute standard to the world if a multitude of other variant ideals were still to be called wise. Understand what I'm saying to you. There's a scripture in the book of Romans that says it so very plainly. And it's a combination of scriptures that men have had the written words, but did not seek them by faith. In other words, did not seek them not only by faith, but unto steadfastness, unto faithfulness, unto ultimate stability. Men have had the words, but they did not seek to understand them in every nuance, that in all things man might be consistent after the mind of his creator. Carnal mind, oftentimes in its shallowness, is immediately in rebellion against oftentimes discerning the greater truth, because men have not wanted to admit that after their carnal mindedness, they don't have the power after a carnal mind to encompass or begin to understand fully the implications of what is the thought of its creator. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Scripture says we have to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Yah. That means we must ask the Most High for his gift that we be able to fully grow. Or dare men think that the ordinary fleshly carnal mind, blinded by what it sees, blinded also and shapen after a worldly misexample, can easily see beyond the aberrations. Dare men say that knowing only what this world has told them, is they see beyond its inadequacies. Think about what I'm saying to you. The Most High has declared that this world must have peace, but man has not discerned how to see beyond his divisions. Dare men say that preoccupied with the ideal that seemed wise to his own heart, that he can discern through what the Creator has preordained, necessary that this world be again galvanized? I said again galvanized as one. Or is that, my brothers and sisters, that pure, perfect standard that would cause all men to, let's just say, come to agree again in a covenant? Is that not something, my brothers and sisters, that man is going to have to be a whole lot less arrogant, a whole lot more humble, and a lot more diligent to attain, or even be found worthy to see? That might sound hard when I say that. But think about it, my brothers and sisters. Do you think when the Most High begins to open the mind of a man that he is pleased if granted the opportunity to perceive things that rare few do? Do you think he is pleased if man is slothful about the pursuit with regard to that opportunity? My brothers and sisters, we live in a world where very often men feel that if there's a fact that very few know, hardly realizing there might be great implications upon that fact. Men feel like if they understand or think they understand even the surface levels of certain dimensions of truth, they feel that understanding just that little bit is sufficient. Our brothers and sisters, every single thing that is truth or order in this world demands that Well, think about it. All that is necessary for you to be standing where you are today. Do you ever stop to consider how many conditions had to be met for it to be so over the course of ages? How is it that men believe that they are instantly believers in a world of so many contradictions, that they instantly believe and are true to what the Most High desires of mankind? Shall men believe that all in a world of 45,000 contradictions that they automatically know who or what is the mind of the Savior? Beyond all the contradiction, beyond all the multitude of misrepresentations, they can't be proper representations if they contradict one another. So there's something to be thought about, my brothers and sisters. Truly it is. Messiah said while he was walking amongst his disciples, he said, "There's many things I long to tell you, but you cannot grasp or comprehend them yet till the Holy Spirit of the Comforter has come." Meaning, my brothers and sisters, that that level of discretion had to come through a direct introduction by the Creator himself. Men have had the written words, but did they seek them unto a steadfastness or an absolution or faithfulness? Did not seek them by faith. Did not seek them unto a steadfastness and a stability that the Most High will find worthy as, let's just say, to be people who will help to build, rebuild on this earth a kingdom that will endure forever. Think about it. The scripture says that not everyone who cries out, "Lord, Lord," enters the kingdom of Yah. How about not everyone even teaches how to be true to that kingdom? But he who does the will of my Father, who seeks all that is his will. Because his gospel is not a bad or partial word. It is a sure and complete testimony. That's what the word gospel itself means. It's a word of peace after which there is no contradiction. It is not the variant ideal that seems wise in a world where, like I said, you can have 45,000 contradictions and some people somehow want to believe that, or let's just say politically, want to declare that somehow the Creator accepts it all. He cannot. Simply stated, he cannot. There's a reason why Messiah said, "Go forth and teach all nations everything that he commanded. Baptize, convert all the nations according to everything he commanded." Because it means if anything was lost or anything was not considered, there's a point of contention after which men might not be able to converge after one understanding. There's a need, my brothers and sisters, there's a serious need to ask, what then is necessary? Or let's just say, what is missing? What has been missing in our thinking? That without, let's just say, what foundation is it that men have thought that they stood upon, has humanity missed? I say, what foundation, what founding truth, what truth is missing that the thinking of mankind is such that the Most High said, when he appears, men for a long time have not known or heard the gospel, and that Messiah would have to bring it again. Isaiah 41:21-42:4 explains this. It says the Messiah will have to come to restore a covenant. That means the Most High never said one time that he would agree with, nor would he preserve the thought forms that men have believed in this world, listening to others. He never said he would preserve these thought forms, my brothers and sisters. He said that when Messiah comes to reveal again and restore again, bring to restitution all things the Most High spoke by his holy prophets since world began, whoever will not hearken to him when he returns as a prophet, one who hearkens to the Most High. Say, whoever will not hearken to him, he said, will perish, will be cut off from among the people. Do you ever stop to consider what that means, my brothers and sisters? That either man is willing to seek the truth that the whole world and all its leaders have not spoken, or man is still not yet free. Understand, the enemy will only offer you an opportunity to be exploited by him. He has no intention that you ever, ever be free beyond the illusions. So why do you expect him to tell you the truth? Most High told me very much so early on, he told me right off the top, whatever they you hear from them, see, read anything else from people, check it out with him first or somebody will make a fool of you. This is what he told me right off the top. He told me he is the only savior, he is the only deliverance from every lie. And if he is simply stated, if he is the only deliverance from every lie, what must everything else be? There has to be, my brothers and sisters, there has to be a reality beyond what we see. Scripture says the Holy Spirit teaches all things, no lie in it. Why? Because must be a pack of lies in what other people have called knowledge. Most High offers the opportunity to gain access to a pure truth. Even to gain access to the pure truth, the world would never, ever, its rulers would never tell. And so much scripture says that over and over again. Men may read the scriptures, but does that mean that they are willing to seek them deeply enough to understand the greater intricacies of those words to receive what is divine vision above the perversities that seem wise in a divided world? Think about it. In a divided world, dare we say that all that we see is truth? Do we really believe that of ourselves we can see beyond every illusion? I want you to think about it, my brothers and sisters. I want you to think about it before I relate something. I know it's a very powerful concept. Revelation 13th chapter talks about man being deceived unto a false concept of what is the Savior. Worshipping after something called, this is related this way, horns like a lamb, speaking as the dragon. Seeming to be the Messiah, but speaking after the thought forms and ideals. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, the agenda of a devil. So it means that what men have accepted being a perversion against the truth of the faith has actually been devilish. Isaiah 29 says that there's a perversity, a turning upside down of things that has to be set back right. Because though men with their lips say they honor him, and their hearts, he said their hearts, their understanding, their convictions are far from him. And their worship has been after the precepts and doctrines of men. Something has to happen to open again the eyes, because the faith in the Most High has never, ever been after the diverse ideas of men. You understand? I say that again. Faith in the Most High as he is and discerning his plan has never been after the diverse ideas of men, seeking to accomplish first their agendas and ignoring the primacy of divine mind. It's time we understand the reality, my brothers and sisters. It's time we understand that there must be a truth that must be attained, that all those who would keep a world in bondage, there must be a truth, my brothers and sisters, they've all conspired against. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are willing to admit that we have not known that truth? It demands, my brothers and sisters, I say, a great humility is demanded on the part of all those who will find out. Because only those who have that kind of humility before the Creator can ever be considered truly, if you will, good students. I repeat, only those who have the kind of humility necessary to realize that there's a dimension of truth that they have not known, that they're willing to admit there's something the Creator may know, does know, that the world has not known. Only those are willing to ask him humbly to find out. Isaiah 59 has a scripture that speaks about it this way, the way of peace men have known not. Do I need to repeat that? It says the way of peace men have not known. Meaning that men have not known the truth, my brothers and sisters. They have not known a pure and perfect truth after which there can be no more disagreement. which means the whole world has been deceived. Oftentimes, willing to sit back and even for us to say that if most people don't know a certain truth and they know a little bit about it, they know enough. Our brothers and sisters, the scripture says that if a whole world be a liar, deceived, not discerning the greater dimensions of truth that he requires of man, he will still yet be true to all that he has said. How is it that men have been so easily duped into being satisfied with partial knowledge when the Creator is an infinite being? I find it sad that a lot of people have actually believed that if the masses don't know something, then it was never important for them to know. They felt that if the masses don't know something, then it's okay for everybody to remain in ignorance. Men and their carnal mind have wanted to believe that if they don't know something, that their ignorance is to be counted still yet wise or sufficient. Never so. There's a reason why the scripture says the Holy Spirit brings all things to remembrance. That means bring to remembrance the ancient truth that your society, the society in which you live, and the society in which we live, may not portray to you an example. Brings all things to remembrance. Rebukes every lie. How about whatever it is that divides the people or makes them proud after their short-sightedness? Therefore, to divide people, like I said, because think about it, every short-sightedness that men seek to support and defend is an obstacle against understanding the greater truth that the Creator is. So the scriptures says the Holy Spirit also tells or foretells to us what we are to ultimately expect to come to pass in the future. How is it that, by and large, the institutions that we call churches today have not taught men that they must exercise in the mind of the Creator, seeking the mind of the Creator, that gift? It is because, my brothers and sisters, the rulers never wanted you to seek for that greater knowledge that they have always conspired together to hide. It's time we know better, my brothers and sisters. It's time we know better. It's time we realize that the only chance we have of, well, I'll put it to you this way. Most High told me that until we are one, as it is our purpose that we must be, until we are able to, my brothers and sisters, conform to the plan that he declared for peace, until we are one, until we are true to him, collectively true to him, we are not saved. Why? Because to be a people collectively made true unto him, did you hear me? To be a people made collectively true unto him is our purpose. It is the purpose for which we were made, my brothers and sisters. How is it that many of us have never even realized that purpose? Or dare we say the Creator can be satisfied with our satisfaction with ignorance? In other words, what I'm saying to you, the most curious soul, intensely curious soul that might possibly be governed by truth, is the soul, my brother and sister, that seeks all that the Most High requires of it to gain access to the truth, my brothers and sisters, that transcends all we see or that is common after the thinking of men. The king and prophet, David, the psalmist, said in the 119th Psalm, 97th verse, 104, it was a petition to the Most High, give me more understanding than all the elder and the honorable, those who are seen honorable and wise in this world. Give me more understanding. It's a petition to the Father that I might keep. What? He said, thy commandments. I didn't say the commandments, the ideals, the value systems of men. How is it that men actually believe that after rulers who want to sustain their kingdoms divide in this world, forgetting that the earth belongs to the Most High, the world and all that dwell therein, How is it that men believe that they shall access that great information at the hand of those who seek to sustain their personal sense of primacy? Doesn't sound very rational to me. Not even in the least. I think it's time, my brothers and sisters, we ask the Most High to reveal to us what is missing. And that's exactly what he told me, my brothers and sisters, that I must tell you things that men have done some of everything they could, conspired in every way they could, to hide from you, that you might continually even seek to deny it, even if you were granted the opportunity. That these truths, my brothers and sisters, be far less than what is considered by most of us. But did it not the scriptures also tell us that rare few find the way? Broad is the road that leads to destruction, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. Think about it. Most of us said he would preserve a people who can indeed live in peace together. He already said in advance that we don't live in peace with one another and not in peace with him after any alternate thought form. That's one of the massive illusions of Babylon. It tells folks that they can have a covenant with the Most High at peace just because they sit back and compromise with one another's errant perceptions. My brothers and sisters, if we figure that compromise with a multitude of errant perceptions will bring for us peace with the Creator, then it's not the Most High that we've believed. Creator will not be pleased with any soul, my brothers and sisters, till it's conformant after his mind and purpose. I know it's time, my brothers and sisters, we understand something. That Western imperialism has sought for a long time that we never truly understand or even give consideration. But if we had given it consideration, it'd be very difficult for anyone to subjugate any of us. What I want you to understand before I move it to the next dimension is this. We've talked oftentimes on this show about what I call the Gospel of Shiloh. We've talked about the principle of the one called Shashan-Shah, the King of Kings, the one who judges all the kings, the one who has declared from the very beginning that all the kings and ruling administrations of this earth would be judged one day by him. That if man would have known and would have been true to the Most High, to rather than seek to pursue his own agendas in a world that belongs to Yah, would have asked the counsel of the Most High how to see beyond the various, if you will, aberrations and transgression and offense that exist in this world, that if we'd all sought the Most High sincerely and even all the rulers, knowing they'd be judged by one greater rather than seeking to call themselves gods. Think about what I'm saying to you. That there might have been maintained in this world peace. But the rulers seeking to establish themselves as if there was none greater than they, having their ignorance sought to impugn their vanity, their short-sightedness, their insufficiency upon all upon whom, let's just say, upon whom they could maintain this supposition that the many shades of darkness are still light. The light doesn't hide the truth, my brothers and sisters, but reveals it. It exposes the lie. So if you're subject to any institutionality, whatever it might be, where the greater access to the truth is not being offered to you, or if you find there are truths that if you ask questions about it, they prefer that you not ask, realize that these are the constituents of darkness and not light. My brothers and sisters, You ask oftentimes. Since everybody, there's an old song, everybody wants to live together. Why can't we be together? You ever stop to consider it is because your rulers don't want everyone to converge together, truly as one, because they want rule and dominion over lands, over people, over resources, because they want to be the possessors. Well, the Most High has already told us the earth belongs to Him, the world and all they that dwell therein, which means either we seek to appease Him or whatever we attain, we abuse as robbers, both of ourselves and others. And definitely, my brothers and sisters, robbing the Creator of the harmony that He wishes to see, if we all sought in all things to be true to His word. When Western imperialists came into the East, my brothers and sisters, I've said it so many times, they did not come into the East to bring the faith, but to utterly destroy it. To cause the people to be, in effect, if you will, double-minded in their reasoning, seeking to find ways, in fact, to make sense, if you will, out of contradictions and nonsense. Telling you crazy things like that the Most High got rid of His law that you might be converted. That the Most High is satisfied with the ignorance of man. So much so that, as if to say the Creator would be satisfied if the greater truth He sought to introduce, people would sit back and say they don't need it. None of that is sanity, my brothers and sisters. None of that is sanity. The book of Romans tells us that Messiah comes in the last days to deliver His people who have been in the midst of this diaspora scattered among the nations. It says He comes, my brothers and sisters, for the express purpose to do what? To remove ungodliness, the blindness, the blinders from the minds of His people. Remove the ungodliness. How about the ungodliness or the thought forms that didn't come forth from the Creator that they've learned while scattered among the nations, forced to conform to the ideals of others? And my brothers and sisters, I regret to say that this is true, scattered among others who, let's just say, have caused the minds to be enslaved because men oftentimes didn't love the Most High enough to seek Him to preserve the constancy of the truth that the Most High had given mankind in order to be able to serve Him. So man's being less than diligent, not following the command of the Creator to love and seek Him with all the mind, heart, soul, and might, nothing of self or self-will or selfish ambition being an obstacle. Man was living under the authority of those, my brothers and sisters, that just as men had vexed the Most High and turned away from divine thought, man would be vexed under the oppression of those who had never had any intent to be fair. Isn't it time, my brothers and sisters, we sought to break free? The scripture says Messiah would come ultimately, according to Romans 11:25-27-12-4, unto a renewing of the mind. He would come for those who would seek to turn from this transgression. How about this inconsistency that we see in the world today? Realizing there must be a constant, my brothers and sisters, there must be awakened to. It means those who are not satisfied with these inconsistencies, those who are not satisfied with the inconsistencies, He will show them what is a constant, that they might be made stable, that they might be made steadfast, that they might become wise enough to discern the difference between what is good, whole, and complete, and what is partial and imperfect. That those who are not satisfied not knowing the truth, I said those who are not satisfied not knowing the truth might be compelled to be governed by the truth when they find it. Those who have a great love of the truth prefer something more than my brothers and sisters' worldly unrighteousnesses, worldly partialities, worldly divisions, worldly short-sightednesses. And they realize the only way they're going to find that truth, my brothers and sisters, is that they seek the Most High himself for whatever is missing. Think about it. Scripture says a Savior will come to turn his people away from all ungodliness, to remove all illusions from the minds and hearts of his people. And then will we all have the same covenant with him. You eradicate the negative to only the positive remains. Then will we have a covenant, a mutual understanding, a solidarity as a people. You know, I think sometimes about the idea that, scattered across the globe, there are those who may find rarely another with which they can converse about the greater truths the Most High reveals. Isaiah 49 said it would be so. It says when the people are gathered together, they would ask the question, where have all these been that they did not see who, let's just say, better understand the foundations and the eventuations of all things? Where have they been? They thought that they were alone wherever they are. But the Most High will gather a mass of people, my brothers and sisters, from the midst of all the nations, from the midst of the whole earth, that they become again a strong people. How shall they become a strong people, my brothers and sisters? Think what the scripture said Messiah would say one day. Keep silence before me. Listen to me, O ye isles. Hearken to me, O ye nations. Let the people draw near. Let them renew their strength. Let them be restored in their discretion. Scripture says Messiah will come forth one day saying, listen to me, O isles, and hearken to me, O you nation. The Most High has called me from the womb, from the body of my mother. He made mention of my name to do what? He said to regather his people. Meaning that the Most High must establish for this world a standard, my brothers and sisters. He must establish for this world a standard after which his people might again be galvanized. Is it any wonder that the rulers of this earth have done whatever they could to assure that people did not or don't even consider that the Most High has a plan to restore the oneness, the solidarity, the fermity, the strength of a people who indeed, my brothers and sisters, embrace a divine identity as one? Sadly, my brothers and sisters, most of you don't even realize. I think about what they call Afro-Americans in this country. People of, if you will, my brothers and sisters, darker hue in this country and across this world. I hear us oftentimes asking the question, since we're not a monolith, and that we are, in so many ways, let's just say, a people who will run to anybody's party that offers milk and cookies. Because we don't know if the Most High has a plan or even intends to regather us, we're willing to accept everybody else's plan. That's the nature of a system, my brothers and sisters, will seek to cause us to assimilate in its differences. As if to say, my brothers and sisters, there's no desire on the part of the Creator to raise our consciousness beyond the differences that this society has both established and seeks to preserve. If you don't know the Creator intends to galvanize, yes, the scriptures, I got news for you, actually do relate that our people will again be made one, even by a people that the Most High has already foreordained must become an unwavering, pure, perfect light. He said that people will be a light to show the rest of the world how to see what before the Most High is steadfast. But my brothers and sisters, I've talked about it often on this show, especially of late. Book of Malachi says the Most High will command us that we must return unto him. But man's reply is, how shall we return? If everyone figures that he is wise or considers himself wise after multitude of divisive ideals, after what shall it be, my brothers and sisters, if men don't realize the need to seek the Most High purely and completely? After what should we completely return to the Most High? After what should we be truly called his allies, his friends? Think about it. He said, you're my friend if you do everything that I command. It's not just to do, it's believe and desire to see it all made manifest and are willing to learn what is necessary that full fruition be brought to bear. Anyone who desires anything else, less, my brothers and sisters, is not a friend, but an enemy. And in fact, my brothers and sisters, an enemy against the attainment of human conscience after divine intent. So we're going to have to think about this, my brothers and sisters. The rulers who seek to keep this world divided have preferred that men believe that the Savior somehow is complicit with all the differences that they have established in this world. He'll compel the people to believe that the Savior desires to see preserved every aberrant thought and misadministration. Every, my brothers and sisters, everything that divides mankind against the will of the Creator. Men have imagined that somehow the Creator is willing to preserve such as this, when he said the whole world had to be reconciled unto him. Messiah said, all power from on high has been given unto me. So in other words, he was saying, establishing his kingship. He said all had to conform or convert unto him according to everything that he commands. Does that preserve then, my brothers and sisters, seek in any way to preserve the partialities that men have loved? Does that preserve, my brothers and sisters, a multitude of variant misallegiances? Absolutely not. He says he has removed the ungodliness, the thought form, my brothers and sisters, that didn't come forth from him, out from our minds and hearts, that we no longer be in bondage, my brothers and sisters, which makes us to that which makes us both self-destructive and multilaterally destructive to all who are under our influence. Most High told me nobody has a right to rule but by him. Nobody has a right to enslave a mind, meaning all we can ever do is seek the will of the Creator to help liberate the mind beyond the encapsulation of those who would seek to keep us blind, who would seek to keep us in darkness. It's the only option we have. I talked about black people here in this country. Oftentimes talking about how we are buffeted by some of everybody's differing value systems. Oftentimes seeking to cater to the value systems of those who say we have no identity unless we cater to that which they value, even cater to the idea of being, let's just say, those that can be exploited for its purpose. In other words, they feel like if they cannot compel you to follow after, let's just say, everything that they've commercialized anti-God, anti-Yah, they feel as if you, to them, have no purpose. So many of us seeking to gain what they so oftentimes offer, not considering the side effects of that desire, of that greed and that ambition, or let's just say the creation of so many things that don't consider whether or not they're ultimately healthy for us spiritually, mentally, or physically. They prefer that we become indiscriminate, consumers, my brothers and sisters, oftentimes, of that which is not for our greater good. The scriptures talk about in Isaiah 28, the way it's written in some texts, it said men have become indiscriminate. They eat immoderately. They don't consider whether or not what they're offering, being offered, is really food or nourishing to their souls. Men compelled to look at simply what tastes good, feels good, looks good, according to ordinary conscience, not concerned with how the Most High looks to see whether or not the heart loves His will first and foremost or not. A lot I wanted to talk about tonight. I know I got on the air a little bit late. I apologize a bit for that because I know the lateness of the hour. But someone I've been trying to get in contact with for some time wound up contacting me earlier this evening, and I decided to make accommodations to try to help them because they've been throwing out a basic plea for understanding for some time. Well, I finally got the phone call that I was waiting for to try to help. It sounds so much sometimes like the shepherd to have to reach out for that lost sheep that's not with the fold. Try to bring them back from the midst of the wolves. Well, sometimes you do what you have to do. But I'd like to say this to a lot of us as black people. Since there's no question about it according to the scriptures, that nobody's going to be delivered ultimately until a base mass of us are first awakened. That sounds like an amazing thing to say, but it's the truth. It is the truth. The scripture talks about Messiah coming out of the tribe of Judah. There are scriptures that relate that Judah will be awakened first. Even if you look in the book of Revelation, you see the first of the 12 tribes to be sealed, again, is Judah. Who is Judah? All indications, if you look at the history and the migration of our people, if you examine biblical history, it seems to relate, my brothers and sisters, without question, that a lot of us who fled either to the south or further to the east and finally came again to the south and then finally to the western coast of Africa that were taken away as slaves. They, my brothers and sisters, are those who, if you will, kept their indigenous innate hue. A lot I could talk to you about with regard to what a lot of people who are anthropologists know about how much of the tribes of Israel were scattered and what they know, my brothers and sisters, what they know about the people that fleeing from Roman oppression, how many of them were scattered, particularly into the south of Israel. And finally, my brothers and sisters, seeking a land of their own, oftentimes wound up traversing. Some of them made camps in the various areas in Upper Africa, and some all the way down to the very lower horn of Africa, like the Limba. But all indications relate, if you look at the tribal traditions of many of those who found their way to the what's called the ivory western coast of Africa, many of them were brought into these Americas, taken away as slaves in the parts of Europe. But the scriptures, my brothers and sisters, relate that in a place, a great nation to the west, there will Judah awaken first. And those who understand that before the Babylonian captivity, Assyrian captivities, that after the time, if you will, of Rehoboam's reign, the time was, they said, during the time of Rehoboam's reign, when many of the tribes of Israel went to the north, were miscegenized, assimilated with the people to the north. But the people who remained in Israel, or the people who came back from the Babylonian captivity, were the tribes either of Judah or Levi, or primarily parts of Benjamin. What does that mean, my brothers and sisters? What does that mean? But that the people were scattered 2,000 years ago. After times when, let's just say, leading up to Roman oppression, the fall of Jerusalem, were primarily the tribes of Judah and Levi. Where those people went, my brothers and sisters. Let me see what I can do here. It looks like our time is drawing to a close, but I'm going to have to get a little bit more time. Let's see. Hopefully I can do this swiftly enough. Okay, look like we managed to accomplish it. We're going to have to ask ourselves a question. Being scattered under the hands of many people. Hey, how about being brought to this country and many made slaves to peoples from all over Europe? That's what this country is. Forced to seek to survive after a multitude of worldly differences. You ever stop to consider how it is that our culture, most ancient culture and identity being taken from us, even caused to forget it? That there has to be a premise that the Most High, think about it, brought his people out of Egypt, that he might consecrate their minds unto him. Did you ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, the Most High can't be fully pleased until that people is restored to his mindset again, such as the promise the Most High gave to his servant Abraham. The Most High promised that his people would be in bondage and they would come out, my brothers and sisters, according to a promise the Most High gave to Abraham. People will be made blessed because they, like him, seek the perfect will of Yah. The perfect will of Yah can be transcribed, my brothers and sisters, as the gospel. The pure, perfect, good, and whole word that ultimately is meant to govern and ultimately, my brothers and sisters, rectify and restore to the one creator all the nations of this world. But first, the people who are intended to be the invariant first light. Let me say something, my brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to give a precursor to all that I want to talk about, if not tonight, in subsequent shows. We ask the question amongst us, how shall we ever get together as a people? How shall we see beyond all the multitude of aberrant ideals that have divided us, even amongst so many that call themselves Hebrew today amongst us? There's still a multitude of divisions and differences. So how shall we actually get together? How shall we become one? The scriptures told us in Isaiah 11 that the Most High would have to raise up an ensign, a stand bearer. Genesis 49 calls this one Shiloh. It says he's a lawgiver, that all the people might be gathered unto him. Isaiah 49 says he's someone the Most High had foreordained and called by name from his birth when he appears. Isaiah 5th chapter says, because the people have despised the command of the Holy One of Israel, the Most High will raise up an ensign, one who will, like I said, raise up a standard to the people. Isaiah 49:22-23 says the same thing. It says, unto him shall all the nations seek, that there might be an honorable peace in this world. How is it, my brothers and sisters, that you ever stop to consider if they tell you that that one is a Caucasoid, if you will, descent, that men oftentimes wind up sanctioning that false image? Yes, I said that false image. What would happen, you say, if I told you, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture is telling us in advance that we will find out in the last day that we worship a false perception or perverse perception of the faith? That there must be something, my brothers and sisters, that men have believed to keep them trusting in that perversitude. Like I said, my brothers and sisters, there almost also must be something missing in our understanding. I will tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a truth that ancient Rome knew that if they could blight it from the minds, Greece and Rome knew that if they could blight it from the mind, they could keep the people's mentalities unstable, that they could subjugate the people. But as long as they held to this truth, these people could never be truly spiritually subjugated. What if you say, and I told you, my brothers and sisters, that this will not be the second appearing of Messiah, but the third? Do they dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, about the one the scripture said will come a second time, that Yeshua said that he is? A second time to regather his people out of Babylon, to bring them again unto their own lands. That's not something Messiah did 2,000 years ago. But the scripture said he would have to do something he did a second time. He did before a second time. When did that occur? You know, there's only one somebody, per se, directly in the scriptures. And the scripture said we'll destroy Babylon once and for all. And it must be the one who Yeshua is. There's an article on my website called Prophetic Proof. Article on my website called Early Church Origin and Mutual Expectation. My brothers and sisters, there's one whose purpose was understood by ancient Israel, and I can prove that without question who it was that ancient Israel knew the Messiah to be, who had already appeared before. Article on my website, I'll put it up, www.hiddengospel.com. It's an article called, at hiddengospel.com, an article called Prophetic Proof. It's the media's purpose for being devised and written was to prove who ancient Israel was expecting as Messiah, what he would come to do. And I dare tell you, that it is impossible, did you hear me? Impossible to understand properly the words of Messiah till you understand him coming in that identity and office. Don't understand that, my brothers and sisters. It's easy to be dissuaded after every manner of misimagination imaginable. What would you say if I told you, my brothers and sisters, and it's a fact? I find it amazing that so many of us don't talk about this. It's amazing. Yes, it is. So many of us talk about what is necessary for us to get together. We look to the leaders, they say, many of us say, expecting them to get together when they all find it that, well, I want you to understand this. If the leaders all got together in the same mind, somebody couldn't be greedy. Did you hear me? If the leaders all got together after one mind, under one purpose, then people couldn't cut out for themselves a personal sense of what they call their own dynasties. Somebody, my brothers and sisters, have to realize, some of us have to realize, that the way that men attain to themselves certain possession and galvanizing men after themselves for personal purpose, there has to be something, my brothers and sisters, that they something that they hide, something that they market that is not true to what is necessary for us to transcend our differences. They want to create differences that are not based upon all the Creator. The Creator has declared. He said, go forth and teach them everything that he declares means there's only one king. But it's belonging to him. But it's being judged by him. So what do they do? What do the rulers do? They deny certain truths that they might possess things unto themselves, directly against the salvation of man. What would you say if I told you this fact? There was someone, if you want to say it, put it that way, according to you, a black man who once galvanized all the peoples of color. Did you hear me? By a divine promise, galvanized the peoples of color throughout the entirety of Upper Africa, going as far back as to the Deep Orient. When I say Deep Orient, I'm talking as far back as to the territories where we talk about the yellow races. But I want you to understand something. Even among those, the people of or deeper Oriental hue, if you will, there were many of us that were scattered in the midst. In fact, a lot of us who have examined the, like I said, anthropology of man, know that throughout those territories, our brothers and sisters, there are people that are of darker hue. In fact, they will admit that their most ancient origins are black people. We could talk about how hues change, but some say a difference in the concentrations of folic acid in the land, a lot of different things like that. You talk about those things. But my brothers and sisters, the people of color, one time galvanized 2,600 years ago. You need to ask the question how it is that suddenly ancient Assyria, ancient Egypt, ancient Babylon became part of one great empire. Most High spoke about someone to whom he gave all the kingdoms of the earth that he might gather his people, Israel, back. Happened 2,600 years ago. What would you say if I told you, my brothers and sisters, according to all prophecy, that same one will return again to galvanize his people? What I would ask, my brothers and sisters, since I know without question of the 66 books, probably 50 plus speak of it in one way or another. The first question I would ask is why our leaders, if they really want our people to be galvanized, why is it galvanizing the will of the Creator, who they say they serve? Why is it that they have not spoken of this? Can it be, my brothers and sisters, that so many of us have been exploited by people among us who would prefer that we never remember what has been forgotten? Who would exploit us by telling us that we are wise when there's so much more to be gained? Remember what I said to you, my brothers and sisters. Remember what I said to you. 2,600 years ago, there was one who the prophet Isaiah spoke of, said that he would prove foolish the wisdom of all the leaders of all the nations. Most High calls him his anointed, said that he would be his shepherd, said that he would establish Jerusalem upon a firm foundation, that he would bring his people back to him, that he would restore the people in righteousness among all the nations, that all the kings of the earth would bow down to him, that he would destroy the misrepresentation that is Babylon, that he alone would declare the truth that a whole world, my brothers and sisters, sought to hide, therefore he alone being Savior, saying that all who would be incensed against the wisdom that he would bring would be ashamed, saying that, guess what I said, my brothers and sisters, saying, surely this one would say. I said, surely, he said, one shall say. In the Most High have our righteousness and strength. It says, unto him shall even the rulers of the earth come. And all who are incensed against him should be ashamed, and that in him who comes in the name of the Most High should all Israel be justified or corrected justly, honorably, our brothers and sisters, in a manner that is true to the invariant light the Most High is. If you knew, my brothers and sisters, that the not only the ancient Israelites were black, but knew beyond all these variations among us that the keeping of divine commandment is far more than the differences that we see. That though many of us say we keep a Shabbat, we have not kept a Shabbat acceptable unto the Most High until what we teach in the midst of it is consistent after all the Most High would reveal to us. And if not, my brothers and sisters, have we kept the Shabbat unto the complete will of Yah at all? Scripture talks about those who take hold of his Shabbat, the time that he has consecrated unto his complete will, to do that which pleases him in the day that his righteousness is revealed. He said to that people who are given name as greatest sons and daughters, and his house shall be a house of prayer for all peoples, Isaiah 5:26. But it says your leaders, on the other hand, my brothers and sisters, have not been concerned about what's necessary for our people to be reconciled beyond all the wolves who destroy us. Isaiah 57:14, saying that the leaders have been so concerned about their own pulpits and thrones, their own quarter, that they prefer people not to realize that in order to be saved and made one, we must transcend their short-sightedness and seek all that is his righteousness, if we're going to be found worthy to survive. He said, my brothers and sisters, for those of us who will understand, if you will consider that it's the righteous man who seeks all righteousness that will escape the wrath that is to come, that because men have sought to be exalted after the short-sightedness of their carnality, when Messiah comes to reveal all things, bring all things to remembrance that humanity has forgotten, men will seek to mock and discredit him. And it says, because you came to praise your variant kings who kept you blind to his truth. He says he has removed that obstacle that they are. Yes, he said he has removed these obstacles out of the way of his people. They might discern again the way of peace. Why don't the rulers tell you this, my brothers and sisters? The scriptures speak about that one who he called his anointed in Isaiah 45. He ruled what is called, what men have called the Persian Empire, or Kurdistan, some 2,600 years ago. Scripture says, all the kings of the earth has the Most High given him. Please look at 2 Chronicles 36:22 through Ezra 1:4. It relates the Most High gave him all the kings of the earth, called him a righteous one. Think about it. A righteous one who seeks all that is divine will so that every subordinate standard might be exposed by him, that the barriers of the nations, my brothers and sisters, should dissolve. Men no longer enslaved after the sedating and divisive rivers of human conscience. Think about it. People use rivers oftentimes to divide lands. Who said there'd be a drying up of those rivers. Men no longer constrained after the mindscape of their rulers to seek, my brothers and sisters, in fact, the one ruler, the one who would judge the administration of all the kings as it was foreordained from the beginning. Well, 2,600 years ago, my brothers and sisters, it's a known fact among archaeologists and anthropologists that people of lighter hue, if you will, did not come into that territory until around the 5th century B.C. 4th century B.C., we also see the rise of the one called Alexander the Great. Force miscegenation throughout the territory. Cause people, some, not to realize their ancient, darker hue. I regret to say, my brothers and sisters, they had a plan to compel us to forget that the Most High still has a restored conscience that was in the East, that it, Scripture says, is yet to be restored in the West. Think about it. It's going to sound funny to look at this, but look at the subliminal suggestion that exists that some of us might not catch on to. Scripture says the first Messiah comes to bring his people that they might know from the East to the West that there's none else but the one Most High. Latter days it says they may know from the West to the East. Hey, I'm talking about Isaiah 24, 10 through 16. Isaiah 59, 19 through 21. Compared to Isaiah 45, 6. Compared also to Hosea in the 11th chapter, 10th verse, that says Messiah is going to bring his people in the latter days out of Babylon West, where before he brought them out of Babylon East. Regathering his people back to their own lands. In the interim, Messiah had been sent as a sacrifice, slain from the foundation of the world, to show that those who persecuted him were unjust men, that men might know to see beyond them all. Wow. That's three appearances, not two. Well, that one, my brothers and sisters, since it's known that other people didn't even come into the area. My brothers and sisters, until a time even after his reign in the East. The black man of which I speak. And it means he must have been a black man. It's that simple. The scripture says he would gather his people in the last day. Am I saying that his people are only black people? No. But it says he will regather his people, my brothers and sisters, who are willing to listen to what the scripture says. Messiah is Lord of both the dead and the living. It means he will regather those who are willing to remember and discern, my brothers and sisters, all that has ever been the truth. It means that they will accept this truth as well. They will recognize that the foundation, my brothers and sisters, of faith was never after a, if you will, blue-eyed, blonde-haired people. Again, anthropologists would tell you that across this world you cannot find a single monotheist people or people of monotheist religiosity among those having blue eyes or blonde hair. All monotheism, my brothers and sisters, every form of monotheism that this earth seems to have embraced, where they recognize one absolute, that there has to be an absolute, my brothers and sisters, found its origin, or let's just say its first acceptance among people of color. I've talked before about how in the book of Hosea, it relates that the remnant of Judah, scattered to the west. In fact, some scriptures in Isaiah 9th chapter said they had been in hard bondage. That would be the people who awaken first to become faithful. Ephraim had been scattered to the north. The scriptures relate the idea that they would might be rebellious a little bit longer, but they'd come around. The Most High wants all his people awakened. And it means the people who are first to wake up have to work to understand all that they need to for the sake of all others. That's purpose. If some of your leaders have been more concerned about keeping you in bondage to their sectarian views, more so than seeking what is necessary for the healing of the world, and they've blinded you to purpose. And since the Most High has already said that he will only preserve what performs his purpose, if they deny you the secret, even the compunction are being compelled to discern what is necessary for the mutual healing of a world when all have sinned and fallen short of the glory, compelling you to still seek to uphold something that is still something far from honorable or glorious. Then, my brothers and sisters, they enslave you to a devil, and it's in the time we discern better than that. I can only tell you I have page after page of notes that I wrote on the things I wanted to talk about in this show. I tossed them to the side for the night. I have to ask the question that I've already begun to ask certain leaders among those who are considered leaders where, in this city where I am so far, I've already asked the question of them. Why is it? Since we talk all the time about becoming, again, a strong people. He said, let our people renew their strength. Talk about people wherever they are. We're going to have to learn how to network and be a little bit stronger in terms of supporting one another, helping one another to see beyond the illusions. But that's the focal point, my brothers and sisters, after which our people shall be galvanized. I've asked the leaders, why, especially since none of their institutions are founded upon that ancient expectation. I've asked the question, why have we not spoken among all those that we say we glorify? Why have we not spoken about the one the Most High said, prophesied before he came, would galvanize our people? But he also said, by his power, would galvanize our people again. If we want our people to become again one, would we not speak of this? Or can it be, my brothers and sisters, because for a long time our people have not spoken of these things? They don't speak about them now because lest they be found both blind, either blind or treacherous. With the Most High, my brothers and sisters, hide this truth from those who genuinely and unselfishly want his people to be made again and all things true to him? Or can it be, my brothers and sisters, people have been tricked into seeking to defend institutionalities which can never offer them life, but only continue to exploit and destroy? Seeking to not see the poison of the sea that has run through our veins and our minds. My brothers and sisters, Scripture says we're all in need of a Savior. Since the Most High has already said he would destroy the poison of illusion, that means we need his discretion, my brothers and sisters, to be purged, to become a people of true and genuine invariant light. I've already begun to proposition some in places of power. And the Scriptures already said that there's would come, has come and would come again, one out of the tribe of Judah. That would galvanize again his people. The question I ask the leaders then, are they up to the task of acceptance, coming to the full realization of those prophecies, that they might become allies unto that intent, that they prove themselves friends unto peace rather than enemies unto the constancy of insidiously foolish war? If they seek to preserve the division that men, after which men form false value systems and feel there's a need to preserve what ultimately, my brothers and sisters, what does not ultimately esteem the Most High, what did they compel people to do but to go to war for senseless purposes, shedding blood that, my brothers and sisters, does not belong to their jurisdiction to shed? Earth belongs to Yah, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein. What makes men people think that when they themselves are unrighteous, they have the right to slay others? Book of Romans, I've talked about that in the past, talks about that the Most High has the power to redeem even those that we might see today as enemies. So why do we so quickly say that we can create institutions that judge one another when these institutions refuse to awaken that they will to the fact that they will be judged by Yah and their insufficiencies? If we all realize that what Messiah meant to say, he was without sin, let him cast the first stone. If we all were to realize the Most High offered us
90
an opportunity
seconds.
To discern. He offered us an opportunity to discern his word from on high. And because man rebelled against that truth, that we see a world without peace today. And many, my brothers and sisters, across many nations, we see the threat of terrorism and war and oppression. Well, the scripture says, because man didn't listen, the day will come because of the multitude of his oppressors. He will cry to the Most High because of those who, like I said, constantly keep things unstable or further destabilize and threat. And he will send them a savior and a judge, and he will deliver them. My brothers and sisters, blessed are those who know to seek the one whom the Most High said he would send according to his plan, to awaken our minds beyond the illusion. For the time for doing that, my brothers and sisters, is upon us even now. Blessed they will understand. I've said what I've said tonight in the show as a precursor to so much more I want to say. But for now, I say, please examine that website of mine to get that foundation that I spoke of. HiddenGospel.com, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectations, Secret City Prophecies, Prophetic Promise, Tribulation 7365 AD. We need them all. And until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, please examine that information so that you can support this ministry to people who desperately need, but only those who understand these things can. Until we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Adam Yav, covered in Remembrance Ministries, unto his might, unto his honor, and his praise always. Hallelujah. And I thank you all again for listening. Please examine those articles which I mentioned. They are the foundation of understanding, my brothers and sisters, again, the path of life.